September 1st, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Ayat, verses in Quran. Now, what is ayat? It's a verse of the Quran, ayat, the word in print. That's what it is. Ayat is one ayat, many verses. So what is God saying? Using the same term exactly, not a different one, same term that he used to identify this writing, this print in this book, he used to tell you what you should be perceiving when you are looking at the external world and yourself as matter, you're looking at ayat. Now, if I want to read this ayat, it's from God. These are from God, directly from God. I want to read these because they came from God. Then God tells me everything you see out there is ayat. Now, the sun came up directly from God too, before the revelation did, and the moon, and all the stars, the wind, the storm, the water, everything, every life, death, all created by God, as well as my own self that made those people scientific. The revelation came to them like this. It made them scientific. It directed them to study the order of the skies and the earth, and all life, including their own selves, and extract from it the ilma, the science, and the language, and the rahma, and the mercy that God wants to extend to his human creatures by way of enlightenment. So we are going to round this up now. Yes, it's almost four. So everything is all right. So we want to know our own self. Know your own self. Isn't that what the Nation of Islam came to tell us? Get a knowledge of yourself, knowing that if you keep pursuing a knowledge or ourselves, eventually we will come to realize that we are no gods. We ain't no gods. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We are no gods. Now, let me say something, brothers. You never got the sister to believe that you were gods. Yes, sister, I know. We are far enough away from the problem days to tell them that now. They can't take it. They can take it now. Never got those sisters to believe that you were gods. I knew my mother. I knew my mother. She believed her teacher, Mr. Farad, was God. But she did not believe anybody else was God, not even her husband. No, indeed. And she let him know, too. If he came down on her like a God, she let him know, you ain't none of my God now. Just a minute, honey. You ain't none of my God. So remember what the Savior said. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, it's something. It's a marvelous experience we have lived. I wouldn't exchange it for the world. No, Allahu Akbar. God is my witness. I often thank him for not letting me be born in Africa. I thank him for not letting me be born in Saudi Arabia. I thank him for not letting me be born in Pakistan, Egypt, or Iran, or any of those places. I thank him for not letting me be born in the church or in the synagogue. Or I thank him for letting me be born Wallace D. Mahmoud. Transparency struggles to see essence. What is the new expression now in higher intellectual circles, especially of the God-fearing people, God-fearing educated people? There's an expression, transparency, and an expression that says what we are striving for is transparency, to get rid of the physical picture and see the true essence. Striving for is transparency, man in the image of God. Transparency is true self. Genesis 1, 26 to 27, God created man in his image. Not only does Revelation have body, gross body, and transparency, but also the human person. You have gross body and transparency. And your transparency is the true you, not your gross body. So I mentioned my photo, they have my photo, but they don't have a picture of me. The true picture of me is to know me in my spirit, in my mind, and in my action. That's the true picture of me. And that's transparent. Transparency. It's invisible. So when God says he made us in his image, it means that your true picture is not concrete. It's not physical. Your true picture is invisible, transparent. And he has given to us of his attributes, like he's merciful. He has made us to be merciful, created us to be merciful. Like he's generous, he has created us to be generous. Like he's holy and does not accept corruption. He has made us to want holiness and to reject corruption. He has given us of his own attributes. He's intelligent and all intelligent, and he has made us intelligent and to be intelligent. So see self, seeing God. So this is true. And if you have seen yourself, you have seen your Lord, because your Lord is the one that made you that way. So Quran Surah 45, Ayah 3 to 4, signs in the sky, earth, and yourselves. The Quran Surah 30, Ayah 30, don't make changes on the nature made by God. John 10:10, nature is sacred. Quran was revealed so man could get nature's blessings. So what am I saying is, if it's done nature, it is okay. But if it is not already done by nature, there is not an example in nature for it, then it is not okay. For us, nature is sacred. God has not put more blessings in anything other than he has put in nature. And he only revealed the Quran to help man to go to the nature in a better and a more productive way. And that is what the Bible says, that you may have life and have it abundantly, and that you may have an increase. And God in the Quran, he gives you increase. And the prayer is for increase in Quranic Arabic, Zadni Ilman. So this is increase, need to in knowledge. Because of God's revelation, we get a great abundance or a great increase and all things that is good. But nature is where it is at. He directs us to nature. That is where it comes from. Quranic revelation is an expression of nature. Everything is an expression of nature except God. Even revelation. Revelation itself is an expression of nature. I'm telling you what I know, not what I am guessing at. even the Quran, an expression of nature called the Word of God. But God let us know that these words are in the creation. The Quran, Surah 45, Ayat 3 to 4. He said, there are ayats in you, ayats in the heaven, ayats all between the heaven and earth, ayats in the earth, ayats in the human, yourself, ayat, verses, ayat, the plural form of the word. And then he refers to the mother of the book, says it is in the mother of the book, the nature that he created the mother of the book. The Quran, Surah 43, Ayat 4. Mother, we are written in her womb. Yes, like we are an expression out of our mother, born of our mother, nothing written. So what I mean, no human design, but in our mother, they are formed a human design. And we are written in our mother, philosophically speaking, then she produces what she had in her computer. It comes out of finished product. Revelation is in creation, and man is inspired to bring it out. So it is the same way for Scripture. Revelation is in God's creation. It's in man and in everything. God has the power to inspire man and bring it out. There is a lot to that statement in the Quran. Dino Fitura Talahi Lati Fatirin Nasi Alehi Aleha Din Al Fitura Talahil Lati Fatirin Nasi Aleha. It is in the religion of origin. The word fitra simply means origin. So man is civilized, the jinn is uncivilized man. The religion of Islam, God patterned man upon, and here means civilized man. In fact, man only means civilized man in the Quran. Man in the human body, processed by the jinn, is the uncivilized man, or the Christians say Gentile. It is because the Jews called them Gentiles because they were savages, barbaric, and worshipped of idols, bloodletters, and bloodthirsty people. They even had blood killing as their sport. So this was in Rome and other countries. So the jinn called them Gentiles. The Quran calls them jinn. But it respects the jinn. The Quran shows us that the jinn was also created with a respect, dignity, with an honor. They are all, not all bad, because it says a party of the jinn heard the recital of the Quran being recited, and they said, what a wonderful recital. No man nor jinn should refuse it or reject it. So that was a party of the jinn said. That so they are not all bad, they are good, and they are good and bad. The Quran, Surah 45, Ayat 3, signs in the heavens, earth, and yourself. You can't alter God's creation. You can't change it. You can't take it out or its nature, state, and put it in a state. And in that creation power that God created it with to communicate messages to the intellect of man, and I mean men and women, no. So I'm looking at technology, and I'm reading signs because that's still God's creation. And it never did deprive it of its ability to its power to send messages to the intellect of man. I'm looking at technology, but I'm also aware of science theory on the beginning of the earth and how the earth is made, how it's constituted, how it's made up right now. And when you think about it, this is nothing new. The comparison that I made, these comparisons have been made thousands of years ago by religious students who studied the revelation of God, God's revelation to man. So creation power is the will of God. You know the power of creation is the will of God. Listen to what I'm saying. The power, the real power of creation is the will of God. God created it. His will is in it. It can't exist except his will be in it. He can't create something with his will, or I should say, he would not, and it was not logical. That's what I mean when I say can't. It is not logical that the creator would create something with the power of his own will and then leave it to exist separated from his will. It also needs the support of his will after he has created it. So rather, he has created it, still has the support of his will in it or on it as an influence, and in it, in its nature and development, it has his will as its strongest influence. So God's will is still in everything he made. And he said in the Quran and scriptures before too that he has put his spirit, something of his spirit in everything, something of his spirit in everything. So that his will, the influence of his will, his spirit is in the influences of his will. And he has put something of it in everything. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, this no new thing. Islam interfaith Muslims. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, El-Islam, no new religion. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 43, all prophets had the same message. Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 25, heaven, home, Dal-Islam. El-Islam is not a new religion according to our holy book, the revelation from God. God of all of us, Christians, Jews, Muslims, the revelation to Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was an Arab and a citizen of Mecca. He was born in Mecca and made his home in Medina, in what is now called Saudi Arabia. And that's revelation. The book revealed to him by God, God said that this is no new thing, conceived revelation, in that Muhammad had not received the Quran, which is El-Islam, the pure source of El-Islam, as something new. But it is a verification and a confirmation and verification supporting what had been revealed before, also and completion on the revelation. So we believe that with the Quran, holy book, that Muslims follow, 1 billion and of now of us on this earth. So with that revelation, revelation was concluded. So this is revelation that would come from God in the form of a book and be left with the people as revealed guidance. We believe that. That was the finality of prophethood also, that there would be no prophets like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon them, coming with a book or anymore. That is the final book. So not that God wouldn't reveal to anyone anymore, but there would be no new prophet and no revealed books for humanity after the Quran. All religion is essence in Allah. And in our book, God also makes it clear to us through Muhammad, to whom he revealed that book. He makes it clear to us that the Quran is the essence or a condensed form of the major scripture that came before. So Islam, according to our holy book, was the religion or is the religion of all the prophets, though we recognize Judaism, Christianity as religions. We see them in their essence, those religions in their essence as Islam. And El-Islam simply means accepting the will of God, to live by the principles of peace or by the rule of peace under God, that is to say, according to God's will. to live choosing peace, or as someone translated, put it, surrender to peace, so that you will have peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with your fellow man. So that is the meaning of Islam. And it is properly called in the Quran the surrender to peace, al-Islam. So if you would read our holy book in the original language of our holy book, you would never read the word Islam by itself, like just Islam. It is always that Islam is al-Islam, heaven called home of peace. God also says to us in our holy book that he is the peace. God himself is the peace. As-Salam is a name of God, one of the divine names of God in the Quran. So God is the peace. As-Salam, his name is called. So one of his names, many names, and we are also told that the paradise, the heaven that we are invited to work for and earn while we live on this world, is the abode of peace, or it is the destination of peace. It is the destination that will be peace. Further, we are told that when we get in that paradise, those who earned it, therein will be their greeting, and their greeting will be peace. Salam. Peace, Muslim definition. So Muslim, our name is also taken from the word in Arabic, peace. So we are Muslim, means a person who has accepted al-Islam. It means that we have also accepted to be at peace with God, at peace with ourselves, our own soul, and at peace with our fellow man, at peace with the creation of God too. So we believe that. Working, striving to have peace with God makes possible peace with our own souls, pleasing and pleased. Return to your Lord. So this is Quran. Return to your Lord. Enter you my garden. That is, enter you my paradise. Enter you amongst my faithful workers. Enter you my paradise. Question. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. My question is, in Quran, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on Muslims and Jews and Christians to become Muslims. If they are already believers, then why is he calling them to become Muslims? Because the Quran is the best source for religious knowledge. Imam W.D. Muhammad, yes. Well, al-Islam is God's choice of religion. But we believe that all the prophets came from God. And whatever the prophet brought came from God. And al-Islam is God's choice of religion. But we believe that the Quran has been protected against any alteration or changes. And therefore, we, as Muslims, we must insist that the best source for religious knowledge is the Quran. And we invite everybody to become Muslims. Yes, we do. We invite Christians and Jews and all to become Muslims. Question. So the question about why are they believers? If Allah tells us to become Muslim, then why should they stay as they are? They are already believers. What is the difference? Invite to the path of God, not to be Muslim. Imam W.D. Muhammad, no, a lot of Muslims are not believers. They are not all believers. So we are inviting everybody to the way of God. Now, if you notice, the language does not say invite the people to the Ummah of al-Islam. It doesn't say invite the people to be Muslim. It says invite the people to the path of God, because there are others on that path. So the Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, Quran, this is no new message. So we have to understand that Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, told his followers, and God tells us also in this book, that what we gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is not something newly formed, but it is what was revealed to those who came before Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and a clarification of what they were given from God and an explanation. So we will know how to apply it in our time of life. So we will know how to see it and know how to apply it to our life. And it is a conclusion. That's what is given here. The Quran, the final frontier. So, and it is a conclusion, and there is a chapter that is translated the conclusion, but it also translates the unity, which tells us that for Al-Islam, unity is a conclusion. So the Quran is revealed also to conclude matters, but what matters? Not the matter of our pop culture, necessarily. It doesn't address this kind of stuff. The matter of revelation. So what has come to the people of God? From God as revelation, it comes to conclude those matters. And the book that they receive also tells them to expect the day when the matter will be concluded. So the Quran is in fulfillment of the prophecy that was given to all the people of the book, telling them to expect the day when the matter shall be or will be concluded. Religion, Christianity, Judaism, Al-Islam, a sister community. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, Muhammad brought no new message. So you would be surprised how much alike we are in what God asked of us as communities on this earth. Very much alike, although we have very, very sharp differences. So there are sacred revealed books. We share the Torah, the Gospel, and the Quran. So we believe the author of the three books is the creator of everything in the sky, human beings, all living things, the earth. If we share this belief in common, although these books are separated by their differences, for the three books have the same prophets, except for maybe one or two exceptions. So we have the same prophets. The three religions represent progression. So the same human history, morally focused, the content, material bears striking resemblance. So when you read the story of the prophets in the Bible, you read the story of the prophets in the Quran. You are getting the same names, the same prophets, all coming from one God. So these religions represent progression or a continuation, or that is exactly what Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon it, wanted us to know, that he did not bring anything new. He said, I bring nothing new. God told him to say this, it is no newly put together revelation. If it is a continuation and an explanation. So this is the nature of the Bible too. I'm a student of the Bible as well. So if you read Genesis and you read from Genesis on up through the Bible all the way to Revelation, you are reading of the things that have occurred in the history of human evolution, the evolution of the spirit and the intellect, the evolution of the spiritual life and the intellect. So you are reading what occurred in the history of the evolution over in a moral life. Those books are the same in that respect. Islam emphasizes universal. Al-Islam's distinct picture is seen in its emphasis. Emphasis on universal, emphasis is utilized here, universal in the Muslim book. So the Quran are the same as you find in the last of the universal appearances in early sacred scriptures, the scripture of the Jews and the Christians. The emphasis is there in those books also. But in the Quran, the emphasis is more sharply focused to get your attention to those universals. You should not think of our religion as a religion in some better competition or envious, jealous competition with Jews and Christians or with Judaism and Christianity. That is not the way to look at it. For missing it, if you do that, you are to see this as a natural growth. As man grows from the earth, the human family, that is. So when I say man, I mean the human family. As the human family grows on earth and experiences difficulties, has to learn and experience difficulties and make progress. The more progress we make, the more we are connected around the world. The more we venture out from our small quarters and connect with our others, with one another, pardon me, the more we bring about a world that has to look at universal. So when the people are separated like we were before, discoveries of this part of the world, not knowing these two big continents over here, North and South America, so we are not connected completely with our own self. So the family of man has not discovered its own self. Man had to discover himself in the various quarters of the world. But now that we have discovered ourselves in the various quarters of the world, if we now connect, and we have to be connected. Milk and honey. The Quran, Surah 47, Ayat 15. Milk, wine, river. Exodus 3:8. Milk and honey. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Milk fed, not meat. You're not able to handle it. So milk's blessings of nature, first life. So the higher meaning of milk and honey, milk comes naturally, ready. Nature gives us milk. Now, an oppressive society denies us the blessings of nature. It denies us the first fruits of life that God has created us. God without any effort of our own has given us the first fruits of life, the milk from our mother's breast. Isn't that a great crime? God Almighty has put it in us to fight an oppressive society that will deny us the blessings of nature. So honey means results of collective work. Honey, since God is going to lead us to a land flowing with milk and honey, or honey and milk, honey doesn't come from the breast. Honey doesn't come without effort. So honey is the result of collective work, united effort. So the bees is united, working as a collective whole. And it's busy. They call them busy bees, working bees. The fruits of our once effort is sweeter than milk. Ah, you can only feel what I'm talking about, but if you experience what I'm talking about, buddy, great forces begin to stir inside of your organ, where this kind of wisdom is brought out. So milk has a sweetness, but it is a mild sweetness. And softness, milk, is nourishing, but honey is filling. You can take 2 tablespoons of honey and put it in 1 glass of milk, and you almost feel like you had a meal. It is more filling than milk, and more nourishing than milk, and much more sweeter. So you want the honey of life? Then come on out in the wilderness with me. And let's forget about the great castles of Egypt. And let us take the bare desert and turn it into a great kingdom. The bare desert of our own resources. We have nothing. We have nothing. We are barren, bare, like a desert. We don't have great wealth. We don't have great scientists. We don't have great theologians. They all are following the discipline of Pharaoh. But in this new leadership, in this community, you have a Moses that can show you how to get milk and honey. So the blessings of nature you work as a human, that you work as a community together, that you follow some kind of leadership, that you accept authority, follow a discipline. The bees follow a discipline. The bees work together. The bees accept the chain of command. You want to regiment us? No, indeed. Bees kill male leaders, meaning leadership isn't in one individual. So the bee kills off the male leaders as a sign to the wise that the leadership is not in one individual. Leadership is in the collective body. So after the queen serves her purpose, they get rid of her and get a new queen who has a new vibrant life. They aren't worshiping no individual. They aren't worshiping personality and individuals. They are respecting great leadership. The bigger male that can go in there and knock the screen down and take care of business. Well, remember, after you do it, you are just a part of the system. Your exterior body fell down into the system. Your soul has gone into the bee, gone into the queen. You are going to see yourself in the new babies from that queen. But your own personality has gone away into the system fertilizer. Oh, that's cruel. It's cruel when you see it in the content of the bee's life. When you take it as a sign of God, and you see it in context of man's social life, oh, it's beautiful. Identity in the inner person. So what is my identity? My identity is not in my physical body. Throw it away. Get it away the moment I impregnate you and this community with this knowledge. Then throw my physical body out of your mind. We don't want my body. We want my germ. Once the germ fertilized, don't look at me. Look at my germ. Do away with me as a person, as a body. But look at my germ. Now, my germ is working in the nation, not just in Damascus. I've got followers under this shelter and outside of this shelter. So the whole nation has been impregnated. But here, under this shelter, we have a great column of bees, and we are making honey, and it is sweet because it is the work of our own efforts. Now, work is the concern of the community and of each bee in the society. So the queen is working, birthing babies whenever she gets old and can't perform that function well, then the little young queen that is ready feels the life to perform that job. It put there, Brother Emmanuel, when you start producing the results of the work that I am doing, when I don't see the results in my work profit in your work, then you are becoming a queen that we ought to get rid of. So we have to look for that imam that's full of enthusiasm, full of life. He's ready to reproduce my word, prophet over and over again. And if I hear, and if I should hear, that you and your master is telling the people to look at you, see me, I'm the man here, then you are worse because you did not impregnate this queen, and you are hanging around, and you didn't even do the job. If the man who did the job stepped back and focused all the eyes on the job instead of himself, then what should you do when you did not even impregnate this community with the idea? So manna and quail is the milk and the honey in the desert. So it's a double crime on you, the whole hive, to come out on you. When they got out in the wilderness, did they get milk and honey? You never read where they got milk and honey, but they got it. It came another language, and God rained down manna and quail. So manna and quail is the milk and the honey. And you Bible students will understand this well. Well, I hope that the other one will too. Manna, your individual ability to understand the teaching. Manna and quail, the book says, the manna fell down as small things. They looked like small upon the ground. It was a shiny thing, they said. And they were told to collect it in the same day, for it will spoil if they let it stay out. And they were told not to leave it out until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it will cause it to melt. So it's talking about your individual ability to understand the teaching. God will bless you with the insight and understanding, but if you don't collect it, the moment you get it, it won't have the same quality. Once you have to go back and think of it again, or go back and get it. If you have to go back and try to think of it again and get what came to your mind as a thought and inspiration from God, you won't find it fresh and healthy and wholesome like it was before. Buried talent. And if you neglect to use the wisdom in your own personal life, when the sun comes up, it will vanish, meaning that when God judges you, when the day of judgment comes, you won't receive any credit for it. It will be like you never received it. Why? Because you didn't take it in and apply it to your own life. It came to you. It rained down from heaven. It was there for you, but you left it out there until judgment day. Judgment day comes and God gives you nothing. Say, God, where is my manna and my manna that you rained down for me? He'll ask, did you use it? You'll say, no, I didn't use it. He will say, you don't have it then. It has also another meaning. It means that if you don't use knowledge when it comes to you, once the whole society is lit with the understanding, then you won't have anything. The whole world is knowledgeable, and you are in ignorance. Your little ideas, inspiration that come to you has vanished and is gone. Why? Because you didn't use it. If you had used it, it would have multiplied, and your life would have been bright, like the light of the day. But because you didn't use it, it died without development. And when the society is light, they don't even see what you receive. Pardon me. And isn't that a tendency in many of us to just take the teachings for granted and listen to it like a piece of music, wait until the next Sunday is played? We don't take it into our own intelligence and apply it into our own human life and thinking to benefit from it, to grow with it. So when the whole society has embraced the light of Islam, they will be much further ahead of you. They will be enlightened. You will be still dark. That is still in the dark because you didn't apply the wisdom that came to you. Quail is like is bees, meaning man must make effort. So it says that he rained down from heaven manna and quail. Now manna is this thing came down. It just fell. It wasn't living matter. It just fell. Then he rained down quail. Quail is a bird, like a small pigeon. If quail comes down, quail is going to have to fight the hell out of wind to keep from hurting themselves. And they are going to have light down. They are going to have to come down with some effort from their own power. So isn't this like the honey? Can you see the connection? One milk requires no effort. I just teach you. It hits your ear. But then you are responsible to take up effort yourself. If you don't, you are going to come up short when the day of enlightenment comes. But the other one quail comes down with great effort. And it's for you. You can bring it in, the quail, but it is the great effort that we bring this for. So what is this for? What is this effort, pardon me? It is the ability of the imam to ride the winds of emotion, to ride the influence of the world and not be blown away by them, the ability to discipline yourself in the wind or atmosphere, the influence of the world, that doesn't come to you without great effort. The wisdom of the Quran is here, but it requires great discipline on the part of your leader. He has to be disciplined. He has to discipline his moral life. I have to discipline my emotional life. I have to discipline my spiritual life. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to learn how to discipline and control myself while I'm in the influence of the world. So the religious people, the good imam, they don't come to the people without great effort. They have to have great effort to cross the emotional nature of society. The spiritual influences and the atmosphere offer such great challenges to them that they have to beat the wind with their own effort. Now, when that kind of person comes to us, we manage to survive the temptations of the world and manage to teach its spirituality from flying through the wind of temptation, lust. So bird eating, it means to get discipline in yourself. So when he comes to us, oh, how sweet it is to us. Quail is a sweet bird. His flesh is sweet. And we would like to pluck his feathers and get to his meat and eat him. I want this discipline in me. I want to be able to fly too. I want to be able to battle the winds and reach my own course and own destination. So you see, this is something we ought to desire. We desire the knowledge, but we also want the spiritual discipline. Milk symbolic of the spiritual discipline. Now the milk that comes from the breast comes to give spiritual discipline. We teach the child to be kind, to be clean, to be peaceful in his thinking and his actions. We teach the child to appreciate mama and daddy, to appreciate goodness and matter where it comes, no matter where it comes from, to be polite, to be thankful. Isn't this the first fruits of the breast? Did any great philosopher have to come and bring us that? Every human being gets that knowledge by nature. So isn't the milk of the breast is very soft? It is easy to swallow. It's made for the baby. That kind of teaching is made for the baby, and the mother has it waiting for the baby as soon as the baby can listen, open his ears. In fact, the treatment that the mother gives that baby begins to give the discipline to the baby. cleaning him up when he is dirty, teaching him that he shouldn't be dirty, that he shouldn't stink, protecting him, teaching him love and compassion, answering his cries when he is hungry and thirsty, from gratefulness, gratitude, appreciation, you see. And then she began to talk to him when he grows older and older, and he begins to learn from her, and she begins to teach him the language of the human being, right, and wrong, etc. So this is nature. These are the first fruits of nature. So it is like a discipline, but look what it says of the manna, which tells you clearly that it's the honey. It says that each man take what he can handle for himself and take it into his own house. So beehive represents conscious work with the essence of truth. Each bee makes his honey for his own home. You see, each man takes it into his own house, which means into his own hole. But leave it out. If the bee don't do the hive with the pollen and whatever is collected from the flower, it won't be any good. It will go to waste. But if it takes it to the hive and the hive begins to work on it, what does the hive represent there? It represents your consciousness. Take it in individual conscience and there work with the essence of truth that you get from the teachings. So be still whole with wax or it won't be polluted. And if you work with it, your own effort will produce from the essence of the honey, and when you taste it, it's sweet, you will enjoy it. Just getting the pollen is nice. It's exciting how the bees work. They just come out buzzing, and they go and they fly into the flower, into the work, do enthusiastically with their feet and fly back to the hive. And each one goes in his little hole, and they are busy working. And when they get through, They seal it with wax. Why? Because God doesn't want it to be polluted. He wants to keep it pure. He doesn't want any other influences to reach the truth that he's got. So he seals it with wax. And it stays in there for a time. Is that right? And the bee is working in there, and the bee comes out, seals up the time. There is the honey ready for the eating. Very nice. Very nice. He has worked. He has labored. He has brought it into his own conscience. So he has protected it from the contaminated ideas of the world. He has kept it pure and developed it with his own intelligence. He works with it, and he saw that this is in more than just essence. So I can live on this. Just the aroma is nice, isn't it? So I guess the bee smells like we do, just working with the pollen and smelling all these nice fragrances, and guess that it's like the spiritual excitement that you get. Teach, Brother Imam. Teach, Chief. He got a whiff of pollen. Teach, Chief, pollen. He's going crazy. But have the sense to fly back to your own conscience and in your own intelligence develop those ideas until you have a sweet substance for your own life. So quail is the spiritual discipline. So that's the manner. But the quail, then it comes down. The people have to catch it. And it's hard to catch, isn't it? It's a flying thing. So you're going to either know how to shoot very accurately, or you are going to have to trick the quail get him in a trap, or you're going to have to be awfully fast with the hand. With the hand, when he comes near, and catch him real quick. It's difficult to get spiritual discipline, very difficult. So feathers represents knowledge, wisdom. And when you get ready to eat him, you have to pluck him first. Meaning that there is wisdom. The feathers represents knowledge. You are going to have to first take off the surface violence. You don't eat the feathers. The primitive people, they never, the naive people, they wear the feathers, but they don't eat them. They wear the feathers, but they don't eat them. You pluck off the feathers and get down to the meat. So you took off the dress, the serpent language, symbolism, and you are blessed to see the meat. That's what you want to eat. Meat you usually wash it up, right? So you wash the meat up. You might season it, cook it. Then you eat the meat. All of this has meaning, but we aren't going to deal with all of it, just the plucking of the and eating of the meat. So pluck feathers mean get the heart of the matter. You pluck off the feathers, color, hula, that is usually symbolism, and you get down to the heart of the matter, the real knowledge. So the Bible says that milk is for babies, but meat is for the learned. So you have to have teeth to handle meat. So that tells us that really the knowledge that we need for spiritual discipline, that great knowledge, and the discipline that we enable us to fight the influences of this world and yet reach our goal. The bird has to be able to beat the wind and reach his goal, reach his destination. That kind of knowledge is not on the surface. It is under the surface. So you have to pluck off the feathers to get to the meat. Now, dear brothers and sisters, what church has offered us has been feathers. The church has offered us nothing but milk and feathers, no honey. They only give the students of theology honey. The membership gets no honey. Only the students of theology get some honey. And they don't get too much, weak honey, watered down honey. So the Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10, pledged to the prophet, Ilah God, Ilahin Nas, meaning worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community, and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority. Then he should have that whole community and government. And it heard in the head, worship God, who has been in all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. See what an intelligent man will believe in, not seasonal man, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about the man who makes an alliance for life when they put their hand in the hands of the leader. It is not only their hand, it is the hands of their loins, their children, and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledge their allegiance to Muhammad. So they were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. Hand of Allah above all. So the Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18. Hand of Allah above all in oath. El Hadith, page 1, 307 to 100. Allah hand on group. Bukhari, page 1, 47. Poor with compete to build tall structures. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. We are out of time. We will, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa, Excellent Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. Before we go up there, I want everyone to say a prayer for the victims of this storm. A lot of people have lost their property, their homes, and their lives. If you're close, you can. If you're close enough to help physically, help physically. If you can help financially, help financially. But always remember, if you don't have anything, you can pray. And prayer works and prayer helps. Thank you. Thank you for listening. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.